Texaco Time with Preston. Welcome to the Texaco Star Theater, ladies and gentlemen. We invite you to enjoy the night. We invite you to enjoy the night. We invite Jack Haley, our special guest, Jack Haley, Man About Hollywood. The winner of the Texaco College competition, Thomas McInerney from the University of Alabama, and Al Goodman's orchestra. An hour of mirth and melody brought to you by the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we bid farewell to Wednesday night. Starting March 8th, this program will be heard on Sunday nights at the same time over these same stations and also in Canada. And now we bring you the man who is going to make Sunday a weeknight on the radio. He's Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Mr. Wallington, this is our last Wednesday night.
Yes, Fred. Next week at this time, people will be tuning in to hear Junior Miss, starring Shirley Temple.
Yes, sir. It took a little Shirley to take our place. It sounds odd, doesn't it?
Shirley did.
Well, after... does, huh? It surely does. Well, after tonight's broadcast, Jimmy, we're going to have a week and 4 days before our next show. Now, that's four extra days off.
Say, what about those 4 days that we don't work? Are they with or without pay?
Well, Jimmy, when I hired you actors, I gave you my word, as you know. And I'm not a man who says one thing today and another thing tomorrow. Now, about those 4 days, I'm keeping my word.
They're without pay.
Yes. You can spread the word around. You can tell the other actors, if you will.
Oh, no. You tell them. The last fat man that walked in on them, they ate. It could happen to me.
You wouldn't agree with anyone, especially a cannibal, Jimmy. But look, now you have 4 days off. Why don't you relax? Why don't you take a little trip?
With what? Gosh, the wife and I were thinking about taking a second honeymoon. We were going to run out to Akron, Ohio, and look at some tires.
I wouldn't go near Akron if I were you, Jimmy. With your stomach, I'd go to Pottsville.
I could sure use a trip, Fred.
Well, Jimmy, if it'll pep you up any, I tell you what I'll do. I'll pay your bus fare out to Yellowstone Park.
Gee, that's what... Hey, wait a minute. If I go to Yellowstone Park, I'll be off the program for a couple of months.
Well, I'm putting up the money, Jimmy. At least I'm entitled to get some pleasure out of it.
Fred, I'm the announcer. What will happen to the show?
Oh, nothing, James. We'll just skip all of your announcements and open the program with the latest news of the week. The March of Trivia presents its weekly lowlight from the world of news. New York City, New York. Red, white, and blue posters announcing that New York City's water shortage is acute and urging conservation are put on display in 10,000 subway cars this week. Trivia shows how public-spirited citizens around town are cutting down on the use of aqua pura. Now, first, Thomas Charles John, a concert singer, says...
I used to take 20 encores singing Old Man River. Today, let the house fall down. I only sing one chorus. At every concert, I am saving 200 gallons of water. It's vocal, but it helps.
Thank you very much. At the 58th Street Firehouse, the chief reports...
I've stopped using water at all fires, so don't even bring my hose.
Well, how do you put the fires out, chief?
Well, when I drive up to a fire, I've got 40 radio comedians on the hook and ladder.
Well, how can 40 radio...
Mister, if you've got enough drips, you can put out any fire.
An uptown florist says...
To help conservation, I have stopped watering my flowers.
Has it had any effect on your florist business? Effect?
Plants down.
And now the March of Trivia interviews a select group who have been affected by the water shortage. First, Professor Falvey Fickett. I understand, Professor Fickett, that you have been busy experimenting to relieve the water shortage.
Yes. First, I tried transplanting camel glands into a man.
Why?
Well, to see if the man could go without water.
What happened, Professor?
The man went without water, but two humps came out on his back.
Oh.
Then I tried condensing the steam in factory whistles.
Was this successful?
Well, the steam made water. Only one thing was wrong.
Well, what, Professor?
At 7 o'clock every morning, the water whistled. Woke everybody up.
Oh, I see. Well, you kept on experimenting?
Until my problem was solved. Today, I am ready to relieve New York's water shortage.
Well, how, Professor?
Well, the reason New York's reservoirs are empty today is because we've had no rain.
And you?
I am going to make rain.
You are, really? How, Professor Fickett?
Well, the Great Lakes are filled with water. It's lying there useless.
I see.
The sky over New York is cluttered with clouds, hanging there, not cooperating.
Yes.
I am going to tow a string of those clouds out to the Great Lakes.
Yes.
I'll load up the clouds with rain and tow them back to New York.
But how will you tow the clouds back and forth, Professor? Hitch them onto an airplane?
No. I shall hitch them onto myself.
Well, how will you get up in the air?
Oh, didn't I
tell you? In the air.
Oh, didn't I tell you? I fly.
Professor, you are not...
You guessed it. I'm Superman.
No kidding.
You mind if I leave through the ceiling?
Not at all. Not at all.
Well, I'm off.
You certainly are. And now an uptown housewife, Mrs. Lena Rappaport.
Thank you.
I notice you have three victory pins on, Mrs. Rappaport.
Three V's I am wearing, but this is not the reason.
Well, what do your three V's stand for?
Vi-based water.
Very appropriate, I must say. You have been conserving water, Mrs. R?
Yes, sir. I am watching all forceps. It should not be leaky.
Oh, the forceps. Good.
Three times a day I am having without water.
Well, how can you make tea with no water?
The tea bag I am putting in my mouth and drooling.
Oh. How does it taste?
Like cotton. But with pickle.
Oh, cotton and pickle. Now, well, you don't even miss water then, do you?
Only Sylvester I am missing.
Sylvester? Who is Sylvester?
My goldfish.
Well, what happened to Sylvester?
Well, after cutting down on water, I am emptying out the goldfish bowl.
You left the little goldfish in an empty bowl?
Oh, no. Sylvester, I am laying on a damp cloth. The little darling is happy.
Happy, huh? Well, how could you tell he was happy?
Sylvester is making wag with the tail.
Making wag with the tail, huh? You mean that your goldfish got along without water entirely?
For 3 weeks. Then it is happening.
What, Mrs. Rappaport?
One day in the kitchen, I am making blintzes.
Uh-huh.
Sylvester is slipping in the flour, flopping on the pot cheese, frisking.
Uh-huh.
I'm opening suddenly a quart milk. My back is straining. Yi-yi.
What happened?
Sylvester is jumping down the milk bottle, and he is forgetting how to swim.
Well, don't tell me your goldfish drowned.
Almost. Sylvester and the milk is slipping with popping.
Yes.
Finally, the milk is becoming butter.
And?
Sylvester is slipping off the top into the frying pan.
And how did he come out?
Delicious.
Well, thank you. A man who coped with the water shortage, a businessman, is Baruch Brindle. What business are you in, Baruch?
I run an orange juice stand.
And you were using water in your orange juice?
Are you kidding?
Well, after all,
I got a real orange hanging in the window, but it's the old razzle dazzle, the chump bait.
Oh, the real orange.
Yeah.
Well, how do you make your orange juice, Baruch?
Well, I got an old beer vat in the cellar.
I see.
I put in 4 drops of orange extract, 2 spoons of sugar, and 800 gallons of water.
What does it taste like?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Well, if you've cut down on your water, Baruch, how are you making your orange juice today?
Oh, I ain't using drinking water no more.
Oh.
I'm using ocean water. Yeah, it's dated.
Oh, dated ocean water?
Yeah, fresh from the East River every hour.
Gad, salt water in orange juice and people drink it?
Yeah, it's tripled me business.
How do you mean?
The minute you take a drink of it, you're thirsty again.
Oh. Well, not using oranges, you're helping naval relief. And thank you, Baruch Brindle. Well, I guess that about...
Any friend, here am I. In no time now will the jinx be high.
Now, look, Falstaff.
Shh. I've just had Longfellow on my Ouija board.
Well, no one is interested, Frank.
Thanks to the occult, I have written some new poems.
Well, look, take your...
Have you heard she was humming Rigoletto as our eyes met in the ghetto?
No, I haven't heard that.
I knew the ballpark was haunted when that old bat spoke to me.
No, I haven't heard that.
Or, no wonder you look like a flour bag, mother. You've sure been through the mill.
Now, wait. That's done it, Falstaff. Tonight, we are discussing the water shortage.
Precisely why I am here. I have written a poem.
What is your water faux pas called?
Why any man needs water, I'll never, never know.
Well, how does it go?
Why any man needs water, I'll never, never know. It's all right under bridges or to make a flower grow. Water's fine as dew or rain, as hail or slush or snow. But why any man needs water, I'll never, never know.
Well, thank you very
much. Water's swell for waterfalls. It's a must for making dams. It's home for little beavers, for sharks and crabs and clams. Water's good for ducks and whales. Unless the tide is low, sir. I'll never, never know.
Well, thank you very
much. I don't need no water. I never take a tub. I never plunge or shower or give myself a scrub. I'm allergic to all water for ablution or as drink. I've never touched or tasted water. Perhaps that's why I...
Thank you very much. Thank you. And as Falstaff steals away, we turn gladly to welcome Kenny Baker. Ably supported by Al Goodman and orchestra, Kenny sings Sometime.
I'm wondering, sometime through shadows, I'm with someone high, while I'm through with all. Wondering.
Swell, that was swell, Kenny. You know, for such a young boy, I don't see how you get so much power in your voice. How do you do it?
Oh, it's nothing. I just open my mouth and throw myself into it.
Well, I know, I realize that. But look, one week you sing high C, and then the next week you sing a low B flat.
Sure. Larry Elliott says my voice has flexible power. It's like Sky Chief gasoline.
Is that right, Larry? Is it really as he says?
Just as he says, Fred, yes. The power of Texaco Sky Chief gasoline is like a live force that's waiting, pent up, and eager to be released. Just get in your car, touch the starter, and feel that engine take hold. Then feel how strongly Sky Chief power lifts you up to driving pace, how smoothly it idles down in traffic. That's a demonstration of flexible power, a thrilling response to your every command. It's driving luxury to challenge winter cold with flexible. Sky Chief is a luxury gasoline. Sky Chief Performance saves your back. Sky Chief Performance saves your back. Sky Chief Performance starts. That Sky Chief's flexible power means long mileage per gallon on the road. For winter economy as well as with Sky Chief, your Texaco dealer's premium gasoline, Texaco dealer's premium gasoline for those who want the best.
Mr. Goodman's number is Mr. Goodman's time. Gentlemen,
Mr. We... Allen!
Say, what are you doing with all of those boxes and bundles, Portland?
Oh, Teddy and I have been packing everything.
Well, that's good. It's nice to be ready. Now, how do you feel about changing over to Sunday nights?
I feel sorry for you.
Oh, don't worry about me.
But it isn't going to be the same working on this program without you.
Without me? Well, I'm not leaving the program.
Well, I heard Kenny say he's changing the whole program around for Sunday nights, and he's getting a new comedian.
Oh, he is. Getting a new comedian.
I'm sorry, Mr. Allen.
Don't be sorry. Kenny Baker thinks he's going to fire me, does
he? Hi, Forty.
Hello, Kenny.
Listen, Junior.
I've got your new Sunday night contact, Forty, right?
Mr. Huh? Baker.
Oh. Are you still here?
Yes, I'm still here. What is this I hear about Sunday nights?
Well,
Mr. Allen, Kenny.
Oh, I can't, Forty. Look at the trust in those big blue baggy eyes.
Come on. Out with it, Baker.
Well, time marches on, F.A. A program that's going on Sunday needs a comedian that's young, peppy. It needs new blood.
Well, couldn't Mr. Allen get a transfusion, Kenny?
I give you the best years of my life, and now you want to throw me out like one of your old wedgies. You don't think I'm washed up, do you?
You've never won the New York World Telegram poll.
What's that?
It's a popularity poll. You never see Alton Cook on this program dropping an award.
Who is Alton Cook?
He's the radio editor of the World Telegram, Mr. Allen.
You mean that Alton Cook thinks I'm washed up?
His poll does, and I can prove it.
You get Alton Cook on the phone.
He's right here, F.A. Alton.
Yes, Kenny.
F.A., this is Alton Cook, the radio editor of the World Telegram.
So, you're Alton Cook, huh?
Yes, Fred, I've been visiting programs lately to bring glad tidings, to congratulate the performer on behalf of 200 radio editors for having been voted the most popular artist in his field.
You generally congratulate the performer.
Yes, but tonight I bring no award, no congratulatory message.
Then what are you doing here?
I sent for Alton. Did you bring your files, Alton?
Yes, Kenny.
All right. Now, F.A., how long have you been on the air Wednesday night?
Well, almost 8 years. Let me see, since 1935.
All right. Alton, what comedian won your popularity poll in 1935?
Jack Benny.
1936.
Jack Benny.
1937.
Jack Benny.
1938.
Jack Benny.
1939, 40, and 41.
Jack Benny.
1942.
Bob Hope.
America wakes up! America wakes up, and it's about time.
Did Mr. Allen ever win your World Telegram poll, Alton?
No, Kenny.
That's all I wanted to know. Thanks a lot, Alton.
You're welcome, Kenny.
See? Now, are you satisfied, F.A.?
Well, it's only...
Going on Sunday night, I've got to have a comedian with me who's got a name. I'm trying out Jack Haley.
Jack Haley? Why, Jack Haley and I are old friends from Boston. You can't get Jack Haley to steal my job out from under me.
Oh, no? He's waiting to audition now. Ladies and gentlemen, meet a real comedian, Jack Haley.
Thank you, folks. A very funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio. Funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio. Funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio. Funny thing
happened. Anything, yeah.
Who is that guy with the long puss, Kenny? His face looks familiar.
Oh, he's some old guy. He used to be on the program.
Oh. Oh, an old broken down actor, hey? Here's a buck, brother.
Jack, you remember me, Fred Allen from Boston.
Oh, yeah. Here's another buck.
They want youth on the show. This guy was jilted by May Robeson.
You heard what Jack Benny said about you last Sunday, Allen.
Was it funny, Mr. Haley?
Benny said he'd like to have muscles as hard as Allen's arteries.
Oh, that's nothing. I get it.
Yuck.
They need new blood on the show. This guy is 4 years older than the old oaken bucket.
Oh, yeah? Show him your teeth, Mr. Haley. Open your mouth. Go ahead.
What am I auditioning for, the Kentucky Derby?
Oh, you're comical, Mr. Haley.
Well, what am I up here for?
Well, I'm looking for a new partner, Mr. Haley. You and I ought to make a funny team.
I don't know, Kenny. You know, when two comedians... with every man for himself.
With you, I'll have a chance. With you. And don't forget, I'm hiring you, Mr. Haley.
So what?
So you know who gets the laughs.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, here we go. I'll take the first line. How would you like to be a half-wit, Jack?
I don't know, Kenny.
Hey, look. You got the laugh. Something went wrong. What was it?
You took the first line. I think that's what did it.
Well, okay. Now, you take the first line this time, and I'll get the laugh.
All right. What's the difference between an elephant and a flea?
I don't know. What is the difference between an elephant and a flea?
An elephant can have fleas, but a flea can't have an elephant.
Hey, again, I didn't get the laugh.
Perhaps
I didn't get the laugh.
Perhaps it was the way you read the line, Kenny. It was the way you read the line, Kenny.
Well, look, try another one. I'll take the first line again.
Okay.
Do you... line again.
Okay.
Do you think silk stockings are extinct, Jack?
No, but they're on their last legs. Legs. John and I went and got the laugh again.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. How am I doing, Kenny?
Frankly, Mr. Haley, I'm disappointed.
You mean I don't get the job?
If I'm not going to get any laughs anyway, I might as well keep Mr. Allen.
And I hope this will teach you a lesson, hey, Jack?
Yes, Kenny, you're a dope.
Hey, what is this? Did you guys frame me?
You don't think I'd take my pal's job, do you, Kenny?
Well, it's the old saying, I guess. Ham is thicker than water every time.
That little squirt thought he could pull a fast one, Jack. He didn't know that we were old friends from Boston, huh?
Yeah, Fred. I remember the first time you went on amateur night.
Ah, yes. At the old Grand Opera House.
That's right. I was there that night, Fred.
Were you?
Sitting in the theater with my mother and a pound of tomatoes.
You had a box, eh? Well, How did you like my act?
You had a time just right, Fred.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, you finished your act as I was throwing my last tomato.
Remember those? After you got rid of the tomatoes, I played that can later, 2 years later. With the... Well, remember those theaters we used to play around Boston?
Yeah, remember Austin and Stone's? The actors had to do 18 shows and then wash the manager's laundry.
Those were the days.
May they never come back.
Say, remember the Daisy restaurant up three steps on Howard Street, the Daisy?
Yeah, beans, pie, and coffee for a dime.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the only restaurant in the world that served a hamburger with built-in bicarbonate.
Say, say, remember that boarding house on the corner, the boarding house on Bullfinch Street?
Mother Shapiro's?
Mother Shapiro.
Yeah, sure. The rooms were 50 cents a night. With a door on the room, it was 75.
Remember how cramped those rooms were?
I'll say, my room was so small, if anybody opened the doorknob got into bed with me.
I had a room there one time. It was so small, the mice couldn't even get in. The mice used to send a flea into the room to see if there was anything to eat in there.
Several acts we used to know around Boston. Say, do you remember LaRue, the sword swallower?
Raymond LaRue.
LaRue.
He was a little round-shouldered guy from Swallowing Sickles. I remember he used to...
You know, LaRue borrowed my suit one time to play a benefit.
Yeah?
He swallowed a sword, and somebody applauded. LaRue took a bow and tore the back right out of my tuxedo coat.
Well, you've come a long way since then, Jack.
Oh, not so far. Fred, New York is only 200 miles from Boston.
Well, I mean that today you're a Hollywood star.
You're a star on the radio, Fred.
But look, you meet all those glamorous people out there while you're making pictures. Have you made any pictures lately?
Yes, I just finished Beyond the Blue Horizon with...
Next picture, Jack.
Moscow? You remember? The Moscow.
Moscow. At the finish of the...
Moscow.
At the finish of the...
Moscow used to do... Think we'll throw him a lump of sugar?
Uh-huh.
Well, Bosco never ate that sugar, Fred.
No.
For 20 years, Bosco saved that sugar.
And today,
Think is working for Bosco.
Good. Well, is there any moral...
The moral is, save your sugar. So long, Fred.
Thanks a lot, Jack Haley. Haley, Texaco Workshop players, later enough to sing the eternal favorite, Make Believe.
And it's for New Rochelle who are listening.
Make believe I love you. Only make that you love me. Father's fine peace of mind. Couldn't you, couldn't I, couldn't we make believe or live or blending in it is or two or three who are and the romantic dream. Dream about don't happen to be so. Happen to be. That's just an unnecessity. He could really believe. Love you. Believe. Of mind he's offending.
Couldn't. And tired. Texaco dealers in all front tires in every way possible. Trained to fight wear. They're ready to help you conserve your car and tires in every way possible. Drive in. You're welcome. Fred Allen returns after a brief pause for station identification to present the most talented undergraduate of the University of Alabama, followed by a special surprise feature starring Jack Haley. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the spotlight young performer recruited from the camp. Once again, focus on the spotlight young performer recruited institution presenter as a young Alabama. Cash award of $200. Welcoming committee ready?
No, gentlemen. I am happy to present the talented young baritone, Thomas.
Fred is our...
Harry, but I'll fill in. Ladies and this time, the pride of Alabama, the talented young baritone, Thomas... okay. Thomas. Hackenary is an odd name, Thomas.
Irish. That's a little about a jigger.
Just a jigger. Well...
a glee club for the Alabama...
In 1939, Alabama 6.
Yes, we had a pretty good team.
You know, there was one who spent so much time in Fordham's backfield... that Fordham awarded him a letter, I believe. your school has had some really fine football teams, Tom.
Yes, sir. Alabama's played in the Rose Bowl 5 different seasons.
Well, Yale, of course, has played in the Sugar Bowl every season. They get their lumps every Saturday. Tell me, Tom, what are you studying down there at Alabama?
Well, I'm majoring in political science and preparing for law.
Are you planning a career in public life?
Yes, Mr. Allen. Our university now has 1 justice on the Supreme Court bench.
Uh-huh.
And 4 graduates in the United States Senate.
And you hope to add to this record, huh?
Well, I'm going to do my best.
In other words, you take law seriously. Your singing and glee club participation is just a hobby.
Yes, sir. I've had 5 years of voice, and before that, 5 years of saxophone.
Well, that's the way Rudy Valley started out, Tom, with a saxophone.
Mr. Valley went to Yale, didn't he?
Yes. They say when Rudy left New Haven, he had a Yale sticker on every bag and a Yale lock on every pocket. The years have worn the stickers off of Rudy's bags, Tom. But they tell me those Yale locks are still in place and as good as new. Well, enough about the seal test Shylock. Tom, I understand that down at the University of Alabama, you have quite a radio department.
Well, we think it's the best in the country, Mr. Allen.
Uh-huh.
Professor John Carlisle, our director, was production manager of the Columbia Network before he came down to school.
Well, what equipment do you have there at school?
We have our own radio studios and complete courses of microphone technique to radio.
In other words, you have everything but a sponsor down there.
That's right.
Well, I wish I'd gone to Alabama, Tom. You know, I learned radio the hard way. The first time I went on the air, I had Mike fried so badly, 2 fellows had to hold me up while I was broadcast. Those 2 fellows are still working. And do you know, Tom? And do you know, Tom, in radio today,
on this program?
They hold up John Barrymore.
Still have Mike Frank?
Well, I don't know what it is. Now, Thomas, the sentry, when you came in tonight, your bundle.
Yes, Mr. Allen. Students at the university.
Oh, swell.
Alabama cotton.
It comes complete with... Well, thank you, Tom. In the top of my aspirin bottle. Bottles of aspirin we'll need. The rest of the bail I can use. I have 200 this suit. And hang it up as a decoy. Long, slender package, Tom.
Alabama sugar cane.
Oh, boy, look at that Alabama sugar cane. This is it, huh? Oh, these are the stalks here. Oh, these are the right size for my safety deposit. Lay in there. I want to thank you. Well, I want to thank Alabama and the boys and girls at Alabama and the boys and girls. And I think, Thomas, now what about your song?
Waiting for the sun to sing, the world is waiting for the sun to sing, the world is waiting for the sunrise.
Well, Mike Roman, the most talented undergrimmer, Thomas University of Alabama, sings for you, the world for the sunrise.
Oh.
sleep.
Thanks for sending you to... And Thomas, we wish your law career and the most talented... Holy Cross, after listening to the Statutes. After listening to the Statutes. After listening to the Statutes.
Say, Fred.
Sitting
here with all these college boys reminds me. Did you go through college?
No, Jimmy. In my youth, I was a fugitive from a brain gang. I didn't get a Ph.D. I had to go out and get a J.O.B.
Do you ever regret skipping college, Fred?
Yes, Jimmy, I do. You know, as time goes on, I do. You know, as time goes on, I do. You know, as time goes on...
Well, this winter, no car owner had any idea of how valuable his car would be to him today.
Well, time has certainly changed that picture, hasn't it?
Yes. So bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen, even if your car did get its winter conditioning at the start of the season, it may well need extra attention now. So see your Texaco dealer. Ask him to check your oil. If it's worn, let him renew the protection of your engine with the proper grade of insulated Havoline, his premium oil, or insulated Texaco motor oil. If gears shift hard, grind together, it's time you put special Texaco lubricants on the job. And if you hear squeaks that warn of friction in the chassis, there's need, too, for the protection of a Marfac job, Texaco's famous chassis lubrication service. Your Texaco dealer knows what to do in winter weather to protect that personal and national asset, your car. Care for your car, for your country. Prolong its life and help America win. Prolong its life and help America win.
And now the Texaco Workshop players. Tonight they star Jack Haley in a desert tragedy. It's called Mayhem at King Tut's Tomb, or My Mummy Done Told Me. Music, Pharaoh Goodman. Just a minute, put down. Don't raise your baton, Mr. Goodman. Come in.
Mr. Allen?
Yes?
Come right in, Mr. Archer.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Archer?
Yes, sir.
What is this? What is this? What is this? What is this?
This is my assistant, Mr. This is my assistant, Mr. Archer.
How do you do?
Now, look, look. I'm just starting.
But whatever you're starting, stop it.
Now, just a minute, brother. Who are you?
I am Mr. Funt, a vice president of this broadcasting company.
Well, what is that?
This is the last Wednesday you'll be on at this hour, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Starting March 8th, this program will be on the air Sunday nights. But what's that?
It is customary when a comedian leaves the studio to take inventory.
Shall I frisk him now, Mr. Funt?
Now, look, wait, look. We are just starting a sketch here. Now, can't you take your inventory after the program?
It is customary to take inventory while the artists, so-called, are still on the premises.
Yes, you can't trust actors, and I have no watch to prove it.
Are you insinuating, you little waste of skin?
I ought to part your hair.
Well, that's more than you can do with your own. And I ought to put some pleats in your face.
Oh, go till your face.
Oh, yes.
Language, language. You go right on with your program, Mr. Archer.
You bet I will.
Yes, and we'll get on with our inventory. Come, Mr. Archer.
Take my hand, Mr. Funt.
Everything happens to me. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, I guess where everything is quieted down, we present our desert sketch starring Jack Haley. Music, Pharaoh.
Here I am, Rail Rufus Smythe, the great explorer, alone dying in the desert. Water. Water.
Are you ready, Mr. Archer?
I'm ready, Mr. Archer.
Water. Water.
Music stands 27.
Music stands 14.
Water. Water.
Jazz 32.
Jazz 6.
Water. Water.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute, Jack.
All I want is a little water.
Look, I know. I'll straighten this thing out, Jack. Mr. Funt.
Yes?
What is coming? You're holding back. You're holding back. You don't want to answer me now, Funt. As man to man, I demand that you answer me when I speak to you. What is coming off here?
Well, that's what I'd like to know. There are 13 music stands, 26 stools, and 5 microphones missing.
Well, you don't think that I...
Shall I frisk him, Mr. Funt?
Here, here, here. Take your hand out from under my coat. Or I'll push your head so far down your spine, you'll have 3 tongues hanging out of your shoes.
Language, language.
Well, you'll hear worse than that now if you pests don't get out of here. Mr. Haley, a great dramatic actor, is trying to do a sketch here.
Very well, Mr. Allen. Mr. Archer and I will go.
Yes, that's final.
Come, Mr. Archer.
Take my hand.
Now we can get back to your sketch, Jack.
Where was I?
You were lost on the desert.
Oh, yes, the drums were beating. Water. Water.
Hold it, hold it, hold it, Jack. Come in.
Excuse me. Has Mr. Sobel come yet?
Mr. Sobel?
I have an appointment with Mr. Sobel.
Look, lady, Mr. Sobel isn't here, and we're right in the middle of a sketch.
Are you sure, Mr.
Only one in the sketch.
Oh.
And my water.
I'll wait for Mr. Sobel outside.
Yes, do that.
Sobel outside.
Yes, do that. Now, Jack, let's go. Drums.
Water. Water.
Now, look, how long can a man live without water?
You may find out tonight,
Jack. I'm as
Jack.
Dry as an Arab's instep.
I'm sorry, Jack. I'll put a stop to this. Come in, come in.
Come right in, Mr. Sobel.
Thank you, Mr. Funt.
Now listen, you. This is the third interruption.
Now please, Mr. Allen, Mr. Sobel is pressed for time.
I'm a busy man, Allen.
Now listen, Sobel.
Mr. Sobel, are you ham?
Why, you...
Language, language. Mr. Sobel is the president of Sobel Sanitary Soup.
Yes, my program is taking over this studio next Wednesday night.
Mr. Sobel is here tonight to test the acoustics.
Oh.
I want to be sure my soup commercials can be heard in the balcony.
Oh. Get away from that microphone, Mr. Allen, please.
Yes, yes, I need plenty of room. I wave my arms when I read.
Fine, fine.
Who is this other man, this man with a round head? Who are you?
I'm just trying to get some water.
The cooler is out in the hall. Step aside.
I got better treatment the night I was on the Goodwill Court.
And I can prove it. I can prove it. I was with him.
Quiet, please. We're on the air. Take it away, Mr. Sobel.
Okay. Folks, have you tried Sobel's sanitary soup? The new licking good triple duty soup? Sobel's is the only soup that contains ether, energene, and rhondocyte hyperphosphate. Sobel's sanitary soup cleans your clothes, whitens your teeth, and is licking good to boot.
Now look.
Here's how Sobel's triple duty sanitary soup works. Now, when you slop any other soup on your vest, what happens? A big greasy blob remains. When Sobel's triple duty sanitary soup spills on your vest, here's all you have to do. Go right on eating. Yes, go right on eating. The energy in the soup cleans the spots. The ether dries your vest instantly, and the rhondocyte hyperphosphate makes your elk's tooth 3 shades whiter.
Mr. Dawson.
So try a can of Sobel's triple duty sanitary gumbo soup, Sobel soup, as that stuff I got stuck with last November. Try a can, spelled K-A-N, tonight.
Well, Mr. Sobel, how are the acoustics? Good for soup?
I can't tell without a conference.
Well, let's tie in.
Yes, let's tie
in. You tie
in
to me.
I'll tie in.
Boy, I'll be glad to get out of this place. Just a minute, brother. Who are you?
I'm Jack Haley.
Did you come in with Sobel?
I'm your guest star, remember?
Water. Water.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Well, let's finish the sketch. Drums.
Whoa,
hold it,
whoa.
Hold it, hold it, Jack.
I didn't even get started this time.
Come in.
I should have thought of that, Fun.
Oh, it slipped my mind, too, Mr. Sobel.
Come in, Mr. Devereaux, Mr. Llewellyn.
Thank you, Mr. Sobel.
Thank you, Mr. Sobel.
Now, look, Mr. Funt, who woke up the morgue? What is this? What is this?
Mr. Sobel has approved the acoustics for his commercial.
And the word Sobel echoes in this studio. I'll get a double plug.
Divine.
My voice will roll around these walls like a comet in the wilderness.
Now, look, look, if you folks don't mind.
Please, Mr. Allen, Mr. Sobel has to test the acoustics again for his radio serial program.
Oh. Yes, Miss Devereaux, Mr. Llewellyn, we'll run through an episode.
I'll just throw my mink here.
Will you set the scene, Mr. Sobel?
Yes, I have the script right here.
Quiet, please. We're on the air. Take it away, Mr. Sobel.
Molly Malone, girl steeplejack. Molly Malone is the story of a simple girl who became a steeplejack to support her no-good father and seven big, strapping, loafing brothers. Yesterday, we left Molly Malone hanging from the steeple of the town hall. Her paint pot and scaffold had blown away, and Molly hung suspended by her charm bracelet. Well, somehow, Molly got down during the night. And today, we find Molly Malone busy at work painting the steeple on the Masonic Temple. As our story opens, Jeffrey Spavin, Molly's sweetheart, is shinnying up the steeple. Molly, speak.
What are you doing way up this steeple, Jeffrey?
I came to see you, Molly Malone.
But steeplejacking's a woman's work, Jeffrey. You might slip and fall.
I can't slip, Molly. I'm wearing corduroy pants. And I have lumpy legs. Molly.
Yes, Jeffrey.
Will you marry me?
Why, Jeffrey.
Help! I'm slipping.
Jeffrey,
help.
I must overtake you. Jeffrey, oh. Jeffrey.
And so we leave Molly Malone. As she and Jeffrey Spavin speed down that steeple,
she is wet.
Tune in tomorrow for the next thrilling adventure in the life of Molly Malone, girl steeplejack.
Well, Mr. Sobel.
What do you think, Miss Devereaux, Miss Llewellyn?
The acoustics are divine.
Yes, my voice just rolls around these walls like a comet in the wilderness.
Oh, good, good, good. This studio will do, Mr. Fun.
Thank you, Mr. Sobel.
Well, I've got to go. I'm a busy man.
Dad, I'll be glad to get out of this joint. Where was I?
Water.
Oh, yes, oh, yes. That's where I was. Now, go ahead, Jack.
Water.
Mr. Allen.
Not now, Portman.
But the man in the control room said to tell you there's only a minute and a half left.
Say, we're late. Well, you better step on it, Jack.
Water.
Say, Fred.
Yes, later, Jimmy.
No, you promised me before we finish tonight that I could get in all the Texaco mentions I cut out all year on account of time.
Well, it's too late now.
Say, what about me? I'm speaking for Mr. Goodman.
Look,
you promised Goodman he could play the ends of all the numbers he never got to finish.
Well, some other time.
Well, look, Kenny. The sound man says he's got a lot of big crashes left over. Can I help him catch up with his noise?
We won't have time for anything
just
now.
Just a minute, Alan. I was engaged to do a sketch here.
Now, Jack.
Call an ambulance, somebody. I want to see my lawyer.
Yes, look. Quiet. Please, look, everybody. This is my last Wednesday night program. Now, I only have 20 seconds to get everything cleaned up before we leave the studio. So go ahead. Finish your numbers. Do your commercials. Play your sketch. Crash your sound effects. Tear the joint down.
Water.
Yee-hoo!
Water.
Goodman, music. And now, just a final word from Larry Elliott.
Each defense bond you buy goes into the vital tools of war. The tanks, guns, battleships, and planes. Every single defense stamp helps turn another cog, move another wheel. Line up for victory now at your nearest bank, post office, or retail store. Buy more and more defense bonds and stamps.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. The Texaco Star Theater returns a week from next Sunday, the date March the 8th, the time 6 p.m. Sunday night over these same stations. Our first Sunday guest will be Morris Evans, the distinguished Shakespearean actor, and the winner of the Texaco College competition at Holy Cross, Jack McDonald. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast. inviting you to tune in again Sunday, March 8th, and to drive in almost said next Wednesday. Drive in almost said next Wednesday again after 8 years. But it isn't Wednesday, folks. It's Sunday, March 8th at 6 p.m. And to drive into your Texaco dealers at any time. Remember, you're welcome.
Water! Water!
Good luck, Jack. Good night, folks.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.